Let us open the Bible in Mark chapter 11. Palm Sunday is the title of the sermon. It does make sense to entitle this sermon as Palm Sunday. Mark chapter 11, verse 1. Everybody open? Everybody ready? Let us read. Verse 1 says this: as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him the Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly." They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Verse 8 says, many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Last verse, verse 11 says, Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Let us have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you so much. It's because you love us, you gave us your word. And now we want to delight, we want to understand, we want to heed your word. Give us grace to do that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So church, Palm Sunday, I'm preaching from Mark. Can we have our next slide, please? This is my fourth year in this church. Can you believe that you have been with me for four Palm Sundays? How blessed you are. How happy you are. Amen. Yes, yes. And I'm way more blessed because I have you in my life. So anyhow, there is four Gospels and all the four Gospels talk about this story, Palm Sunday. And I have preached from each one exclusively. My goal is simple. I want to see what Matthew has to say about the story, what Luke has to say about the story, what John has to say about the story, with no biases, only their perspective of the matter. Now we're going to talk about Mark, church, and Mark is very intriguing. Mark is different. And when we talk about a king, we can't naturally get kingship. Why? Because obviously, church, we are in a democracy. You vote your prime minister. If your prime minister is not doing well, what do? You complain. Yeah? We call our MPs. That's why we can't get kingship right. We just have too much power in our hands as a democracy, and that's not the case when you're in front of a king. That's not the case when you're in front of an emperor. That's not the case of these people. And here it's what Mark makes this, that it's so beautiful Okay. Can I have my next slide? Oh, no, sorry. The next one, we have a goal here. Mark's goal, church, it is that anyone, anywhere, in any time, can see that Jesus is the King. That's his goal. We just said that we don't get kings right. Why? Because we live in a democracy. We vote prime ministers, we depose prime ministers. Kings, you can't do those things. Okay? Even though we are in a democracy, even though we are 2,000 years after this event, when you read Mark, you can see that Jesus is King. That's what he's doing. Yes, now we can go to the former slide. Thank you. Why, church? Here it's what Mark doesn't tell you. Mark doesn't tell you that there is a prophecy being fulfilled. When you read Luke, John, Matthew, all of them, when they tell you that story, Jesus rode on a donkey, everybody came with their branches, they tell you this. This story, it's to fulfill the prophecy. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. O daughter Zion, your king come, humble, riding on a donkey. Okay? Mark doesn't let you know that. If you're not Jewish, you don't know that. If the pastor doesn't tell you, you don't know that. Second thing that you don't see in Mark, there is no Hebrew explanation or context. What does Hosanna mean? I don't know. You don't know. Unless a Jewish person tells you the meaning of the word. What does branches mean? I don't know. You don't know. Unless a Jewish person tells you what does that mean. What does it mean cloaks being thrown in front of Jesus? You don't know. I don't know. Unless a Jewish person tells you. Mark does not tell you. He could have. Make your life easy, my life easy. He doesn't. Okay? And the third thing you don't see in Mark, the story has no climax. Once a royal king enters a city, the procession is beautiful, but what happened next is the big deal. Right? Mark doesn't give you that. Verse 11, we just read, Jesus entered Jerusalem, went to the temple. Okay, what are you going to do, Jesus? He looked around, and then he went home. No climax, no ending. Procession is done. Can you see how Mark is intriguing? All the other gospels tells you there is a climax. All the other gospels explain Hebrew terms. All the other gospels explains the prophecy. Mark doesn't. Why is he doing this, church? And here you need to pay attention to me. Look at me. He is telling you that Jesus is King without telling you that Jesus is King. Did you get that? I'll repeat just so we all remember. He is telling you that Jesus is King without telling you that Jesus is King. That's why anyone, in any time, in any context, can understand when they read Mark what's going on. So our first point, it was already that one, what we don't see in Mark. Now let us move to the second point. What to expect of a king? You are in a democracy. You have never seen a king. No matter if I'm Brazilian, you're Canadian, you are Dutch, you are Philippines, no matter where you come from, what do you expect of a king? Authority, knowledge, vehicle, a special one, followers, subjects, glory, royal blood, and a kingdom. That's the things you expect of a king. So let us see those one by one. And I have a proverb for each of them that I do want you to listen. Authority, church. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 8 says, "When a king sits on his throne to judge, he winnows out all evil with his eyes." This proverb is simply saying, when you're in front of the king, the silence of the king has authority. The look of the king makes you shake. Kings have authority. How about Jesus? Does he have authority? From verse 1 to verse 6, you saw that he commanded the disciples, go and get the colt, go and get the donkey. Which kind of donkey? A donkey that they never owned. A donkey that they never saw. But they command, the disciples obey. The disciples come and find the donkey. People start to say, don't do this. Don't get the donkey. What are you doing? And the disciple says this, the Lord needs it. Okay, take it. You can go. Does Jesus have authority? Yes. Kings have authority, Jesus have authority. And this must be clear. Some kings are dictators. Some kings are puppets. Jesus has authority. Mark is showing you that. Also, kings need to have knowledge. Very famous proverb. If you like proverb, you know this one. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. And Proverbs have a chapter, the focus of the chapter is about wisdom. Wisdom is everlasting. Wisdom is before the creation of the earth. Wisdom created all things. And obviously, Proverbs is talking about Jesus. He's the impersonation of wisdom. What is wisdom? Look at Jesus, and there you find it. So, where does Jesus shows his knowledge and wisdom? Well, it's simple, church. He knows there is a donkey. He knows, which one do you prefer, donkey or colt? Colt. Okay. Is there any difference between these animals? Yeah? Okay. Colt. Donkey is easy. Colt. Colt for me feels like this. Okay, I'm going to change it. So, English explanation. From donkey, we're going to translate to colt, okay? So now we are colt. Jesus knows there is a colt. Jesus knows the state of the colt. Never used before. Jesus know people will argue about the colt. Jesus know people will yield the colt. Does he have knowledge, church? He knows everything. And here is the difference. A foolish king makes the nation fall. A wise king makes the nation prosper. And no, I'm not talking about North America. Okay? Not talking about North America. Jesus is all-knowing. So third, the thing that a king needs, he needs a vehicle. You drive GM. I drive second-hand car. Romans ride horses. Jesus rides a colt. And I did not find a proverb about a vehicle, but I have this popular saying here. The royal carriage follows the strength of the king. What does that mean? If you are in that special vehicle, it's because you are powerful. If you're not powerful, you're not in that special vehicle. So everybody who sees Jesus riding on a donkey, even though it's not their kind of car, they know this man's powerful. Are you seeing what Mark is doing? Anyone can see that Jesus is king. Anyone. He also needs followers. A king needs followers. And that's verse 1 and verse 11 when he talks about the disciples. Verse 11 says very clearly at the end, he, Jesus, went out to Bethany with the 12, with the followers, with the disciples. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 14 says this, where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in the abundance of counselors, there is safety. Every president has secretaries. Every prime minister has ministers of affairs. Jesus had the disciples. The disciples are the one who sits at his table, who receives commandment from him. He rules through his disciples. With his disciples. When you look at Jesus, you know he has followers. But he also have subjects. And subjects are different from followers, disciples, secretaries, ministers, MPs. Subjects is the population. You and I, we are the subjects. We are the population. We don't have access to the royal palace. And that's what you see in verse 8 and verse 9. When the people gathered around Jesus and they celebrate and they sing. Doesn't matter if you know what they are singing or not. By looking at the story, you know this. Which is actually the next proverb. Oh no, sorry. I don't think I believe I quote you this. Proverbs 14 verse 28. In a multitude of people is the glory of a king. But without people a prince is ruined. No people, no kingdom. With people, the kingdom has glory. This king, he has subject and he also has glory, which is verse 9 and 10. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 29 to 31 says this. Four things move with splendor. The lion, the stunting rooster, a he-goat, and the king with his army. When the king walks, when the king rides, and the crowd starts to shout his name, that's his glory. That's what Proverbs is saying. And I do know you remember this. I believe it's from your time when you enter the classroom, everybody, when the teacher enters the classroom, everybody needs to stand up. Is that happened here in Canada? No? Oh, man. No, really? In Brazil, a great country, back in the days, not anymore, when the teacher entered the classroom, all the students stand up. Respect. Right? A king must have glory. If all of this is happening here, you know he's glorious. Mark doesn't need to tell you he's glorious. You know it. Royal blood. A king must have royal blood and a kingdom. Let us tackle these two together. Brazilians saying this. We have this Brazilian popular saying. He who is king never loses his majesty. The king never loses his majesty. Is he a baby? He's majestic. Is he elderly? He's majestic. Does he have the crown on him? He is majestic. Is he sleeping? He is majestic. And Proverbs chapter 21 verse 1 says, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wants. Stay there, okay? He has royal blood. He has a kingdom. Let us compare Jesus with what we know of the world. CEOs have a company. They are not elected, they are selected. Dictators, conquerors, they are not elected or selected. By force, they come, it's mine. The people, the money, the land. Governors are elected. Every 4 years, voting comes, and you elect them. King is born king. King doesn't rule a company, doesn't rule a nation. King is born king, and he rules his kingdom. Wherever his kingdom is, there he rules. Okay? Now, which is our next slide, the proverb I just told you, 21 verse 1, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He directs it wherever he pleases. What is Mark doing here? It's the apex, it's here now, church. Anyone who has read this story, they know Jesus is king. And they are assured of two things. He is a king, absolutely, no question. But his kingdom is different. Let me put it to you this way. If money is your king, the streams, the direction of the heart is going to go to Wall Street. If the mighty sword is your king, the stream is going to go to the army, it's going to go to the police. If your heart is filled with the Lord, if your kingdom is filled with which is eternal, where your heart's going to be directed? To the temple. Did you get that? The world can provide lots of kings, generals, dictators, power. Jesus provides something else. And here, church, I again draw your attention for the things you don't see in this procession. There is no weapon. There is no soldiers. There is no strikes. There is no coarse language. There is no climax. This procession is a peaceful procession. Why? Because this king is the king of peace. Not by mighty, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. That's what Mark is doing with them. When you look to this text, anyone in any day look to King Jesus and say, he is truly a king, yet his king is from another world. But pay attention. He doesn't tell you. How do you find that out? If Jesus is clearly a king, all the aspects of kingship, it's in him. Why? Not everyone accepts him as a king. Why? Not everyone serves him as a king. And again, Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. The king's heart is a stream of water in the hands of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wants. My friend, my church, if you desire the temple, if you desire which is everlasting, if you desire which is eternal, guess what's going to happen? The moment that you see the king, the moment that you see that his kingdom is supernatural, the moment that you see that his kingdom is everlasting, what are you going to do? I want this king. I want this kingdom. I want what he provides more than what the world can provide. That's what Mark is doing. And I have here a poem for you. I encourage you to take this paper as I read. Read with me, not with a voice, just see this. Jesus enters Jerusalem not with soldiers, but with sinners. Not with weapons, but with worship. Not with force, but with faithfulness. Not to take power, but to lay his life down. He does not march toward the palace, he walks towards the cross. He does not seek a crown of gold, he receives a crown of thorns. He does not conquer nations, he conquers sin and death. This is the king who calls you. This is the kingdom you belong to. This is the kingdom that will never pass away. Therefore, we can say with Charles Spurgeon, if God calls you to be a minister of his word, of which is eternal, don't stoop to be a king. Why? Because you belong to a better kingdom than anything this world could give. Lord, I pray that our eyes have seen the King. And I pray, Lord, that our hearts long for which is eternal. If in our hearts there is a puzzle that nothing in this world can fulfill, we have found the answer. His name is Jesus. We have found his kingdom. Or better, he has found us. He has chosen us. He has saved us. May this message of Palm Sunday nourish us, strengthen us, and may we share this to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.